If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KDOI.
Open phones Friday, 336.
It's back once again.
I got to go start with 208-336-3700. 208-336-3700. 1-800-529-5264.
We can talk about today anything you would like to talk about because it is Open Phones Friday.
Whatever's on your fertile minds.
Uh-huh. Again, that local number, 208-336-3700.
There's a lot of white power stuff, a lot of prejudice stuff on the wire this morning. Did you see the Melania Trump story? The Dr. Seuss story?
I did not. What's going on with Melania Trump?
First Lady, this boggles the mind. First Lady Melania Trump fired back today at a Massachusetts elementary school librarian who rejected her donation of Dr. Seuss books, claiming their illustrations are examples of racist propaganda.
Now, Dr. Seuss books?
You had Dr. Seuss books when you were a kid, right?
Well, yeah.
I did, too. My daughter did. My sons did.
Does she explain that?
Stephanie Grissom.
All right.
Director of Communications for the First Lady's Office said in a statement to Fox News that the response was, quote, unfortunate. And Mrs. Trump wanted to use her platform to help as many children as she can. She needs to step up and smite this librarian.
Okay, but I mean, do they explain the librarian's point?
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, okay, because I don't yet get it.
She has demonstrated this in both actions and words since her husband took office. This is a political part of the speech. And sending books to children across the country is but one example. To turn the gesture of sending young students some books into something divisive is unfortunate. But the First Lady remains committed, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
To celebrate National Read a Book Day, the First Lady had sent out a collection of 10 Dr. Seuss books to one school in each state across the nation. Here are those racist titles. The Cat in the Hat. One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
Well, I mean, that sort of brings, well, not really skin color, scale color into it.
Wacky Wednesday.
I don't know that one.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Okay. Well, there's another color.
All the Places You'll Go. She followed in the footsteps of her predecessor, Michelle Obama, who often read Dr. Seuss books to children.
Okay.
Former First Ladies Hillary Clinton and Barbara Bush also read to children with Dr. Seuss-themed educational events.
Did they get the same flack?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, they were never said to be racist. Man,
I mean,
I wanted to send you a special gift. Dr. Seuss's Oh, the Places You'll Go is a book my son and I have read over and over again, and one we want to share, the First Lady wrote.
Yeah.
Please also remember you are the future of America and that you can accomplish anything you set your mind to.
Okay.
Apparently, this library is offended by the illustrations in the books that another fact many people are unaware of is that Dr. Seuss's illustrations are steeped in racist propaganda, caricatures, and harmful stereotypes.
Okay, well, I was unaware of that.
The librarian wrote that giving examples of if I ran a zoo.
Yeah.
And to think I saw it on Mulberry Street, as clear as racist mockery in Seuss art, just because I don't
know. I can't figure it out. I can't, in my mind, picture what necessarily they're talking about here. But I it just never really occurred to me.
These little thingies, little...
What?
Oh, like this. That is supposedly racist.
That's thing one and thing two.
I know.
How are thing one and thing two racist?
I don't
and what race are they, for that matter?
What, they're white with blue hair.
Okay. I still don't know what race that is.
Yeah, dun, dun, dun. Reach out to their local librarian for recommendations and don't give us these books anymore.
All right, well, if they don't want them, give them to a different school, I suppose. Huh. I hadn't really thought of it as being racist.
Did you even?
No.
Well, I didn't think racism when I was a kid, at least not consciously.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts.
Well, I'm just, you know, it just seems, Dr. Seuss seems fairly universal.
Yeah.
Now back to Paul Jay and Chris.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
821.
I was looking into this story that you brought up.
You're saying this may be more of a vendetta than a facts thing here?
Kind of. It doesn't seem like there's a great deal of it that has anything to do with racism.
Mm-hmm.
There's this librarian. The two things she doesn't like. First of all, she doesn't like the president. You can tell that.
Okay, so she's
anti-Trump. By association, probably doesn't care much for Melania Trump either.
Mm-hmm.
And also doesn't like Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education. And her point, I guess, in this, and, you know, it's not something I would do with a gift, but her point is that she works at a school that is very well-funded and doesn't need anybody to donate books, and that Melania Trump should have looked for schools that were very poor and had no money and, you know, weren't doing well and given them the books instead. And so what I'm thinking is, well, you're a librarian. Why don't you find that school and give them the books?
Yeah.
Because the books were given to you. It was a gesture, obviously, to be nice. You were the one in Massachusetts that happened.
Positive gesture.
And it was a school in Cambridge, which is, you know, right there in within Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, okay, fine. If you don't want the gift, you can re-gift it to somebody else, but you don't need to write this long letter explaining to her why she shouldn't have given you a gift in the first place. And basically, that's what most of it's about. And also, she does not like any of the policies of Betsy DeVos. So, there you are. And then there's a small thing in there about how they think the Cat in the Hat was based on racial stereotypes. So, I mean, it's supposedly it looks like somebody in a minstrel show or something. But
so?
I think it's supposed to be a cat wearing a hat. I know that part. Which is why they called it Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
Also, it was supposed to rhyme, which it did. Cat rhymes with hat.
Yeah. It could be, I suppose, a bat in a hat.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. Then they'd, you know, probably be doing something for the blind.
All right, let's go to Susan of Ontario. Susan.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey,
I'm glad that you clarified that, because I've been following this story for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, has the media changed it that much since this originally broke the other day, because I had read her letter and I had also read the statement from the school itself.
Mm-hmm.
And her point was, you know, that they were, or one of her points was that they were it's a very rich school.
Yeah.
And all of the schools that those books went to were very rich schools.
Oh, okay.
And so she wanted to know why they weren't sent to schools that weren't so well-funded or barely had a library. And she specifically had stated in her letter that everyone loves Dr. Seuss.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
So and then she did put, you know, a statement on there. She doesn't like Betsy DeVos, and she doesn't like,
right,
you know, those ideas, because there's just, you know, she said she's completely against, you know, goes completely against her grain.
Right.
And so, and there was a statement that she wondered about whether racism due to recent influences, whether racism wasn't a part of this. Why were these books only sent to rich white schools?
Okay. Yeah, and that's essentially what it was. I mean, there were a couple of lines about things being racist. Now, in the stories that we were looking at, they started out with the racist part of it, and they actually put that in the headline
as
well.
The headlines, exactly.
So they made it seem like that was the main reason, is she thought Dr. Seuss books were racist.
Right. No.
But yeah, as you read farther down into the story, that's absolutely right. Now, I just, you know, found this out about 5 minutes ago, and I think so did you. So.
Yeah.
We were kind of just going through
it
here.
When I heard that, I thought, okay, I got to call on this one, you know, because, it's to the point where we don't know half the time what to believe and what not to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it just happens to be that I had been following this particular story. And so.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did. That's what the talk show is for. If you hear something that you don't think is correct, you call up and let us know. I appreciate that.
All right, thanks for the call. Have a good day. We are up against the news. It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Can't we all just get along, Paul J. and Chris?
I do not think
906.
So. I mean, we probably can most of the time. Let's see.
In the wake of racial slurs scrawled on Air Force Academy prep school message boards.
Yeah.
The superintendent of the academy stood all 4,000 cadets at attention and delivered a blistering speech on tolerance.
Okay.
Telling them to record his words on smartphones so they won't forget him. If you demean someone in any way, you need to get out.
There we go. Okay.
Sporting 3 stars on his green camouflage uniform, Lieutenant General Jay Silvera repeatedly leaned forward at the lectern and said, "You should be outraged."
There we go.
Yeah. There's a big racism incident.
We need to give away a 4-pack of passes to the Boise State BYU Watch Party, which is next weekend at the Village in Meridian.
This thing's going to be so cool.
This is the number to call, 208-336-3711, 208-336-3711. Be caller number 6 right now, and you will get a family 4-pack or just a 4-pack. You don't have to bring your family. Bring people you don't even know if you want. To the BSU BYU watch party at the Village in Meridian, which is next weekend, during the actual football game, which we thought would be a good time to have it. Bill of Boise sent
us
this.
We're good at planning that one.
Yeah, we are. We like to, we like things that juxtapose. Bill of Boise wrote in to say, "When I was a young child, I watched Sesame Street, Electric Company, Mister Rogers, etc." Okay, Bill's probably the same age as I am then. Mm-hmm. As I was born in 65, and all those shows started about 1969, 70.
Okay.
They were educational and would teach you basic stuff like letters and numbers. I wonder if those shows seemed as bizarre as the shows that the children are watching now. I am sorry, but I have tried to watch some of these programs for children, and it's like watching an acid trip. I see no... Oh, that would be like H.R. Puffin stuff to kids now. I see no learning involved at all. It's all senseless and weird. So's not to offend anybody type of one-size-fits-all sort of mentality. I am glad I do not have children and plan to keep it that way. Well done, Bill. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of children's programming,
I have no idea. And they change.
I can't comment a great deal on it.
I know they changed tremendously in the whatever
now,
6-year window
Natalie had. I will say this, that there are good children's programs and there are bad children's programs.
Absolutely.
And it's entirely possible that you may be watching the bad ones, but I really can't tell you which ones are the good ones and bad ones because I have not viewed them.
If you don't have youngsters.
Yeah, and again, if you don't have children, you do make a good point, but you probably won't have to watch them. You know, unless you're at somebody else's house and if they're on. So, which, you know, could be the case anyway.
Yeah.
But H.R. Puffin stuff. Now, first of all, somebody said that, you know, these guys were just big marijuana advocates and that's what puffin stuff meant. Like, you know, marijuana would be puffin stuff. In other words, something that you puff, you know, like. Yeah. As the same as, I guess, tobacco would be puffing stuff.
Puff the magic dragon.
Well, yeah, like that. And then, but later, Sid and Marty Krofft said, no, that wasn't it at all.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, fine. But they also had one called Lidsville. And a lid is what an ounce of marijuana is called.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was the evidence for and against and whatnot. And just because something's weird doesn't necessarily mean that it's associated with drugs. I've known people who were just weird, and they didn't they didn't take aspirin.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes
they probably should have been taking aspirin.
We do have our winners, Todd, telling people that we have our winners, no more phone calls.
There we go.
And that's kind of where we are.
Bob says, a personal story on Dr. Seuss. About 24 years ago when my oldest daughter was a baby, I was lying on the floor with her, and I read the book Fox in Socks to her. I could not get through that book without laughing my head off, almost to tears. I challenge anyone to read that book aloud to someone without cracking up. It is silliness on steroids.
It is.
I like that. And that's a different kind of drugs.
Yep. And then you laugh, and nothing your kid likes more than seeing mom or dad laugh.
Yeah. As opposed to get angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to no sound at all, whatever.
Yeah, well, true.
Yeah. That's good. Open Phones Friday. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about today. 336. I got to stop doing that. 208-336-3700. 208-336-3700. 1-800-529-KBOI. That's 1-800-529-5264 or pound 670 on Verizon Wireless. That's a free call.
It is indeed. And let's see here. Bruce of Loman wrote in to say, morning, gentlemen. I heard you talking about Coffee Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's depending on where you look. It's either National Coffee Day or International Coffee Day.
Right.
And I always think of international coffees as being those ones that come in the little square cans. But anyway, I heard you talking about Coffee Day and all the places that are giving away coffee today. Well, you might encourage your listeners to stop at the Open Door Store in beautiful downtown Loman, Idaho, where the coffee is free every day. God bless you, and thank God for coffee. Well done. I have thanked God for coffee.
Yeah, free That's, coffee every day.
I've always found the best way to pray is rather than like pray and talk about stuff that you don't like, please change this, please give me one of these, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pick out all the stuff you do like and say thank you for it.
Yep.
And then eventually there are certain things that you won't have thanked anyone for, and you know, and your point is made.
Yeah.
It might take you a long time. There's a lot of things.
Iman Abdul Atti, who once weighed over 1,000 pounds.
Holy Toledo.
You want to see this picture?
Do I or don't I?
1,102 pounds. Well, come on. I might have to back it up here.
That's a picture of his surgeon.
It's a girl.
Oh. Her surgeon.
Well, hang on.
All right.
There.
Well, she's, yeah.
Okay, there.
As I suspect. Okay. She's not small or upright.
This one right here.
There's a better one? Okay, now, yeah, that.
1,102 pounds.
Yeah, that's about. That's about twice as large as the lady in the Gilbert Grape movie.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Which I saw the other day.
Yeah.
She once weighed 1,102 pounds, has died. Yeah.
Well, I would imagine so.
From complications of heart disease and kidney dysfunction.
Yeah, I guess I really don't find that, you know, hard to believe.
Yeah, the reason I bring that up is, what was it, 2 days ago, 3 days ago?
Somebody else died.
Yeah, the man who was
the largest in the world.
Somewhat heavier.
At the time.
Yeah.
There you are.
And somebody's, and what I always say is, who's feeding these people? They obviously can't move to feed themselves.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Who is feeding them? Stop it. You're enabling them to die.
Of course, if you completely stop feeding them, you're still enabling them to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Okay. 9:15, we will be right back.
Paul, Jane, Chris, on an open phones Friday. Let's get to the phones. But first, a rewards code. Buy, BYE. Boise State does not have a game this weekend. They have a bye, BYE. Mm-hmm. Plus, our program director, David Allen, is taking off for the Wild Blue Yonder of Nashville, Tennessee.
This is true. Now, he's not going to start a music career. He's just,
we're saying bye-bye.
He's just moving there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, let's go to Pat up in Washington County. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let's talk some football.
Okay.
Not politics, football.
I love it.
You know, I've been watching Boise, and I don't know what that belt is that they get if they get a to get a, oh, I've forgotten the word, but that doesn't matter. First of all, they're tackling up high. You don't stop anybody. I know how to stop football players.
Mm-hmm. If
nobody runs without legs.
True.
You've got to tackle them low.
That's what I heard, yeah.
And these high up trying to get the ball instead of dropping them, you want to drop the opposition. You don't want the ball. The ball is secondary.
You mean like an interception?
Stop the runner.
They're going for the interception
or
instead of
the ball.
Okay.
That's right.
I take
that belt and put it, because they're going for this belt thing, and I think that should be done away with.
Okay.
Number two, these linemen are still using the four-point stance. That's been gone since the 50s, because when you're on a four-point stance, you have to stand up and reassemble your balance. You use a three-point stance.
Okay.
I do know my football.
All right.
And, you know, I have seen referees do stupid things, like they call a ball dead, and because the guy didn't step out of bounds. And he has no right to stop the play.
Yeah.
And if you don't straighten out the referees, you're not going to have a game at all. And I think they should be fined. I mean, fined. I mean, not just not get to play, be hired for the next game.
Yeah.
I mean, fined money-wise.
Referees do have supervisors, and there is oversight. In fact, there is always someone who, it used to be Herb Carlson years ago.
And they are taken off of games if they screw up too much,
and if they start getting too many complaints, they don't get nearly as much work.
I can't remember the game because I watch a lot of football.
I know the one you're talking about where the tackler stepped out of bounds and he thought it was the receiver's
foot. He didn't step out of bounds.
Well, the tackler did, not the receiver.
Right, and you don't have the right to call a play dead, and he should be fined.
Well, actually,
unless you hit them financially, they're going to keep making the same mistakes. Now, they got one for roughing the passer, gave them 15 yards. I don't know, remember if it was a Boise game. I'm old. But second time, they knocked a guy out of bounds and drove him into the side of some kind of a little thing. There was nothing there.
Yeah, I think that was a couple weeks ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You're darn right. And if they don't straighten out football, but Boise had better straighten up that coach, get on the ball, get into a three-point stance, and I don't care if they have to run their little legs off. You tackle legs. because nobody runs without legs.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Pat.
You all have right. a great day.
You too,
Pat. Pat's fired up.
A little bit, yeah.
Once they blow a play dead, though, you cannot advance it.
Well, that's true.
It's a law that a lot of people say needs to be changed, but it's hard to change because once you blow the whistle, people stop playing.
Well, this is true, yeah. And people are human, obviously, and even a referee, you know, can make mistakes, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that does happen. It's unfortunate that it does, but until the game is completely electronic.
In hand.
In the NFL and most of the college games now, it's, you know, they have instant replay because mm-hmm. there are cameras all over the place.
Yeah.
And we have that ability now. And they even do it in Major League Baseball where they correct mistakes.
But again,
if the play's blown dead and the guy cannot continue to run and get away, then you can't really change the outcome of that. You can.
Yeah, they took a clear touchdown away. Team ended up getting a field goal.
Yeah.
So it cost him legit right there.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. No argument for points.
The idea is that eventually mistakes will
even
out. However, sometimes it may take many lifetimes.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:26. We'll be.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
Open phones Friday. Paul J. and Chris, 9:36. Let's go to Pro Life. Pro, good morning.
Good morning. Because it's Open Phone Friday, I want to talk about health. And about 30 years ago, I was hypoglycemic. My blood sugar would bounce around.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a health nut then, so I would eat something like whole wheat cookies sweetened with fruit juice. But it would still elevate my blood sugar, and then I'd have a depression after that. So what I decided is that when you eat a cooked sugar, cooked fruit, it's refined that sugar somewhat. And so I quit any refined sugars. And so I eat no sugars now.
Mm-hmm.
Now my blood sugar soon after that leveled out, and I've never had any problems for 30 years. And so that's what I'm saying is that I believe that sugars are the most detrimental thing that we take into our bodies for our general health, for the people generally. And so I don't eat any sugar now, and I don't eat pasteurized milk. I have raw milk, and mm-hmm. I'm an organic farmer, and I'm a health nut. But
you may very well be right about that. I mean, there are a lot of different diets that people have gone on, and people who have tried like every diet there is will say that I cut out sugar and I lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah, well, it improves our whole endocrinology when we don't have refined sugars or cooked sugars. So that's my testimony for you. And
well done.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I like it. Interesting.
Let's see. Faithful listener of Idaho said, did you give the rewards code? We did. It's BYE, which is BYE.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich.
Good morning. Hey, David Allen's leaving?
Yeah.
Yep. Today's his last day.
And he didn't say goodbye to me?
He probably would have had you called in last Monday, but no, I guess he didn't.
He's going to miss me. Anyway.
Probably. Actually, probably right.
I was calling about you. You've been listening to the Martin Zuckerberg testified that all these Russian Facebook ads were put on, all the stuff that was put on by Russian hackers.
Mm-hmm.
And they put up fake Black Lives Matter ads, but they targeted them towards white people to make them angry at Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just wonder how much of this stuff that people talk about, that I hear people calling in and talking about, that's not true, that they didn't get from these fake ads. The Russians have already started making ads about the NFL thing. And their goal is to disrupt the United States.
There was. Did you see the one that came out the other day? And I think, I don't know which newspaper ended up putting it in, but whoever it was who had sent it had forgotten to turn off the location thing. There's a, you know, the thing that'll add a location. Like if I sent it from here, it would say Boise, Idaho. And it was something about the NFL, and it had pictures of the way NFL fans used to look, and it had a bunch of people drinking beer around a you know, tailgating and stuff and wearing their jerseys. And then it showed them now, and they looked like they were a bunch of hipsters. And the funny thing was, it was sent from it was either like Volgograd or something like that. But it was sent from the Soviet, or not, from Russia, actually, not the Soviet Union. So,
but there, I mean, if it had been any other president but Trump, they would have had a blue ribbon panel, a bipartisan. They'd be investigating this because they tried to hack into, you know, like 21 states, mm-hmm. and they don't know if they. You know, if they succeeded that much, but that doesn't mean that they won't. I mean, this is kind of a serious thing. I mean, our whole voting system has got to be fixed anyway. When I went in to vote last time, Idaho has, where I went, they have these big ballots, about 8x10.
Mm-hmm.
You mark them, and they put them through a scanner and count them right then, and you can look at them. To me, that's the best possible system that I've ever seen. Some states don't even have paper records. They run through the machine. The machine counts them. You want to recount? You just push the button and ask the machine to count them again. This is a serious thing that you actually. I mean, it's a type of warfare that they're doing. It's, you know, just like the old propaganda, you know, during the Cold War you hear. But they're far more sophisticated for it now. And this stuff, I think it needs to be taken seriously, and it needs to be investigated seriously.
I would agree. Otherwise, in 18 months, we're not going to know what the hell is real.
Yeah, I mean, you hardly do anyway. I know people that get stuff off Facebook, and there's so many made-up little memes on Facebook. It's just ridiculous, and some people live by those.
Yeah, well, there are a large percentage of people that have, in surveys, who have said that they get most of their news off of things that they're sent on Facebook.
I started, you know, sometimes I just ignored those things that they put on there. I just didn't pay attention to them. I started looking them up. And a good part of them are just totally fake, you know, quotes from somebody that just never even happened at all.
You know what I do? I mean, I took a lot of journalism, and there's a certain way in journalism that you are supposed to write, and you are trained to write that way. And I start reading something, and if I can tell that the person who wrote it doesn't know anything about journalistic style or AP style or anything like that, then I just kind of dismiss it.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I saw one the other day that said anti-Semite Keith Ellison, who's a Democratic congressman or something. And
he's Muslim. Yeah, he's the only Muslim congressman.
Oh, that's what it is. But I thought, you know, when somebody starts out an article so prejudiced, you can really be sure it's not going to be very accurate, you know.
Yeah.
You know, skilled journalism would try to hide all that and, you know, put his bias in there without being so obvious.
Good stuff. Thanks. It's like, you know, getting some from Nigeria asking for money.
Yeah.
You know, you better not answer that. Let's go to Bob of Meridian.
Chances are.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, Bob.
Hey, listen, I got a quick question, not so much for you guys, but maybe somebody out there. Over in Meridian, man, over on the corner of Pine and Meridian Road, there was an alien, a Patriot alien. He had the flag there every morning when you went to work. But suddenly, a few weeks ago, he just disappeared. And it's the talk of the town in Meridian. What happened to the alien and the flag?
Really? He's gone, huh?
Yeah. Gone. Maybe he got caught up in this football thing.
What sort of alien?
He was a wooden carving. Big wooden carving, and he held the flag. So every morning when you went down Meridian Road heading for the freeway, he was always there to give you a big smile and wave the flag at you. So anyway, it's kind of a little, you know, everybody's just kind of talking about it. Maybe somebody knows.
All right. Anybody who knows where the alien is, give us a call.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, and by the way, I knew this was wrong when I said it, that Keith Ellison was the first Muslim congressman, and there are now two.
Yeah.
So there are two. So, but they're, you know, like it's two out of 535.
KBOI News Time, 9:45. Open phones Friday. Give us a call.
Real people are winning real money. Are you next? Listen weekdays in the 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours. Hear the keyword and text it to 62582 for your shot. The 4K a day on 670 KBOI.
All right, all of our lines are full on this Open Phones Friday. Let's move to the phones quickly. John of Meridian. John.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Got to respond to Rich.
Sure.
David Allen's going to miss him like diarrhea. You know, Rich gets in there and starts mouthing stuff that's in the news that's somewhat true and somewhat isn't. He brings out the Russians, you know, they're desperately trying to find a reason or a way or a method by how the Russians mess with our election. So now they've come down to propaganda on Facebook, I guess. And that may or may not be true, but one of the things that is conspicuously missing is any example of that. They don't show on the up on the screen during a news broadcast how the Russians hacked in and produced this video or this thing to as an example of what happened. They just say it as out in the ether somewhere this happened. And Rich mentioned Black Lives Matter. Well, you know, hands up, don't shoot. That really happened. He didn't have his hands up, and he said he wasn't saying don't shoot. And then so that either that's the lie, or the people that came in behind them demonstrating, holding their hands up on TV, saying hands up, don't shoot, didn't happen, and that's the Russian hack. Which is it? I've been seeing one example. Have you guys?
Well, you can understand the difficulty then. Everybody reports something different, but you know, you just have to kind of use your own judgment about these things.
Well, if they're going to say that the Russians did it, prove it. Show me the example of where the Russians did it.
Well, there you go. I mean, you like stuff to be proven to you.
Well, like
so do I.
So that's not a bad thing.
Make a plausible argument.
There you go.
There's nothing plausible yet. Thank you very much. You guys have a good
sure.
day.
All right. Thanks. Good stuff. And he's right in that there's really no foundation.
I mean,
how
many times were you told when you were a kid, don't believe everything you hear? However, they never told you exactly which things to believe and which not to.
My dad always said, sleep on it overnight.
Well, they tried to train you to recognize those things, but, you know, you're kind of on your own.
Let's go to Doug of Meridian. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Chris and Paul J.
Yes.
You guys are great to listen to.
Well, thank you.
I was calling about I haven't heard anything about putting an air carrier over to Puerto Rico with a lot of helicopters filled with food and water supplies. Have you heard anything about that?
An aircraft carrier?
Well, yeah.
No. I haven't heard about an aircraft carrier. There have been various ships that have been allowed to
they were
to go
talking about because of the size and the amount of supplies you can get on an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
I haven't... That's all I heard. I heard they were thinking about it.
Because that way they can deploy the helicopters in mm-hmm. the areas
exactly.
that they need them.
That would make a great deal of sense, yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they...
And they could bring fuel, too. Quite a bit of fuel.
You know, and again, there again, that's one of those things where, depending on what news you're watching or who you're listening to, they're either doing a fantastic job of helping or they're way late and not doing much of anything.
Right.
So... Yeah. Probably somewhere in between.
And the other thing, since David Allen's gone, who's going to replace Paul Jay, or is he going to be back on Mondays again?
Well, this
working on
this
it.
Monday, it's going to be Nate Shulman.
Is it?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Slinkman's going to have to work.
I can't, you know, vouch for the Monday after that yet.
All right. Okay. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Okay,
we got. We can take Glenn for 1 minute. Glenn, you got a minute?
All right, so I won't address the topic I was planning to. It was taxation. That's a little longer than a minute, so I'll respond to the aircraft carrier. I've already seen video pictures of the aircraft carriers and their helicopters, and they just need more helicopters and pilots and workers to manipulate the product when they put it on the ground. And they're doing a great job. They just need to do more of it. There's room to park an aircraft carrier out there in the deep water. They don't have to be in where it's shallow.
All right. Yep. Thanks,
Good
Glenn.
Stuff. Thanks. I think we have more phone calls in the last half hour today than ever. Thanks. and thanks for everybody for calling. We didn't get everybody on.
Sorry about that.
So just keep this number and call back.
That's true. We do this every day.
It's 9:55.